Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
You are no doubt aware that the book of Obadiah, the shortest book in the Old Testament, is primarily about God's judgment upon the nation of Edom. Edom was a neighbor to Israel, to their south and east. They were a nation of people related to Israel, for Esau was the founder of Edom, and Jacob was the founder of Israel. And Jacob and Esau, of course, were twin brothers born to Isaac and Rebekah. They ascended to a higher position of strength and honor and reputation among the nations of the earth during the first several hundred years of the development of these two nations, while the nation of Israel was obscured in the land of Egypt, and Edom was prospering and thriving and doing well with their agriculture and their mining and their trading, both on the King's Highway that went through their territory, and also by ship, as they were sending ships out to other parts of the world. And they were a strong military power, and they were a thriving nation in the world, whereas Israel was pretty much unknown. Until God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, 2 million strong, and Israel, in taking the route prescribed for them to get to the Promised Land, wanted to pass through the territory of Edom, and they did not allow it. In fact, they threatened to send out an army to stop it. And that made Israel take a much longer route to go all the way around the nation of Edom instead of passing through. And that was just the first of many provocations that took place over a number of years, until finally the hostility of Edom against Israel was so great that God said, "You are going to be destroyed because of your hatred and warfare toward my people Israel." And the book of Obadiah is what documents that for us, and we are studying that on the Beacon Broadcast. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, May 7. And we thank those whose financial gifts keep us teaching on this station. Well, the fundamental reason for Edom's judgment is given to us in verse 10 of this little book. It's only one chapter, 21 verses. And the fundamental reason is, "For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever." Violence against Jacob, and it goes on to talk about siding with Israel's enemies, verse 11, "In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers carried captive his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them." So there it is. They sided with the enemies of Israel instead of siding with Israel, as they should have done. And they actually committed violence against the people of Israel, violence against Jacob, as it is described here. But the specific digression, the eight steps that they took to get to this place, are laid out for us in verses 12 through 14, and they are very interesting and very instructive and very applicable to far more situations than merely the nation of Edom. So here it is. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. What is being described here? Well, I will list the eight items, and then we'll go back and look at them one by one. But here's the digression, the progression of their hostility toward Israel, starting at a mild state and progressing through these eight stages to actual violence against them. And the eight steps are, number one, passive curiosity, number two, inward delight, number three, verbal assault, number four, active participation, number five, unbridled gloating, number six, shameless profiteering, number seven, violent destruction, and number eight, total betrayal. Now, the first one we looked at on the broadcast yesterday, passive curiosity, or what you might call rubbernecking. But basically, they are accused of just watching while others plundered Israel. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity. When the enemy came, Edom watched. They watched. They did not try to stop the enemy. They did not try to help Israel. They simply watched. They failed to give aid. They took the position that Cain took clear back in the beginning of the book of Genesis when he asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? And Cain answered that question no, though God answered it yes. And likewise, Edom answered that question no, when God clearly answers the question yes. You are your brother's keeper. You should have come to his aid, but you didn't. You just watched the calamity befall him. Passive curiosity. You didn't do anything actively against Israel. You just failed to help Israel when you had opportunity to do so. You knew exactly what was happening. You were watching it happen. You can't plead ignorance. You were there gazing upon him. You should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity. You watched this all unfold as the enemy came in and conquered Israel and carried away its people captive, and you didn't lift one finger to help. That's step number one. Step number two is inward delight, because it goes on to say in verse 12, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Not only should you not have gazed upon them, that is, with passive curiosity, but failing to do anything about it, just watching it. But furthermore, you should not have felt delight in what was taking place, but that's what you did. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother and the day of his captivity, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah. Inward delight. God knows the heart. Now, still they haven't done anything actively, have they? They haven't lifted a finger against Israel so far, not in these first two steps. Step number one, they just stood by idly, watching as the drama unfolded and did nothing to help. But number two, while the drama was unfolding, inside they were taking delight. Inside they were gleeful at what was taking place. And man may look on the outward appearance and say, well, they're not doing anything against their brother. It is true they're not helping him, but they're not helping the enemy. They're not doing anything active against their brother. But God said, number one, you had a responsibility to help, and you didn't. But number two, I who see the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance and doesn't see you doing anything actively against him, but I see your heart, and I see that in your heart you are delighted with his calamity. That's step number three. Number three, verbal assault. Really? That's what it says. Nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of his distress. Now it's going one further step, and they're going to speak. You see the digression? All of these first three steps in verse 12. Number one, you should not have gazed on the day of your brother in the day of his captivity. Number two, nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Number three, nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Verbal assault. Speaking proudly indicates that they were hurling insults. Because they were inwardly gleeful, then the next thing they did was started speaking up and letting it be known whose side they were on, hurling their insults at Israel, even as they were encouraging the enemy. Verbal assault is step number three. But step number four is active participation. Verse 13, you should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Ah, you see the next step, number four? Now, they are joining the enemy in entering the city of Jerusalem. You should not have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Now they are actively participating in the invasion. They still aren't wielding weapons against Israel, not yet. But step by step, they're getting closer to that place, you see? Passive curiosity, inward delight, verbal assault, active participation with the enemy. They're still not assaulting their brother yet, but they are not only mentally siding with the enemy and verbally siding with the enemy, but they are now physically joining the enemy in their invasion. They're marching inside the city gates as well. And then number five is what we might call unbridled gloating. Again, verse 13, indeed, you should not have gazed on their affliction in the day of their calamity. Now, that sounds like the same thing they did at the beginning, the passive curiosity and the rubbernecking, but it seems that this ratchets up the level just a little bit higher. At first, they were just watching. Now, there is unbridled gloating in what is going on. And then, number six, they actually participate in shameless profiteering. Nor, we read, laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Aha, looting. They're entering into the city of Jerusalem alongside the enemies of Israel, and the invading enemy is plundering the substance of Israel, and Edom is right there to get their share. They're plundering Israel as well. Shameless profiteering of their brother Israel. Well, time has caught us short. We'll not be able to take the last two steps on the broadcast today, but if you'll join us tomorrow, we will take the last two steps and then we'll make some applications. And so until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.